بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن تتقوا الله يجعل لكم فرقانا ويكفر عنكم سيئاتكم ويكفر عنكم سيئاتكم والله ذو الفضل العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا أيها الناس أفشوا السلام وأطعموا الطعام وصلوا الأرحام وصلوا بالليل والناس نيام تدخلوا الجنة بسلام. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسول النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أما بعد، My respected elders and dear brothers in Islam, with the current climate in our country, the situation, I'm not talking about the climate in terms of the temperature and the weather, but the current climate in our country at this moment in time with what is going on, we find that there is a lot of despondency in the minds and hearts of many people. And we hear a lot of people saying things like, we don't know whether we should stay here or we should move over, migrate to some other country, because we don't know what the future holds. Things are not looking good. And we look at some of the recent events. Lots of young people are talking about leaving the country and going and settling down elsewhere. As the saying goes in English, the grass looks greener on the other side. So the other side of the world, the different other continents of the world, it appears there are greener pastures there. But before we decide or we take a decision on whether we should be going elsewhere, that is something that we should decide. We should make mashwara, make istikhara, find out, take nasihat, advice of the elders, and then make the decision, and that is an individual decision. However, in this climate that we find ourselves in today, this despondency is there. And a lot of people are asking questions that what do we do? How do we handle this situation? What is to be done in the circumstances that we find ourselves in? And this is where we find that whenever we turn to the pages of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always has got clear-cut answers for every problem. Allah has got clear-cut answers for every situation. For every difficulty, there is a solution. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides that guidance to us in the Holy Quran. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his ahadith sharif, he has provided all kinds of solutions for the problems that we encounter. So, let us turn to the Quran and let us turn to the Hadith. I have just quoted one single ayat of the Holy Quran. My dear brothers, dozens of ayats can be quoted. I have quoted one Hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Scores of ahadith can be quoted in which the answers are there. It's simply a matter of looking for it, searching for it, finding it, and the most important part is the implementation of those teachings in our lives. That is the most important part. We can have hundreds of beautiful solutions on the table, but if they are not practically implemented, those solutions are only worth the paper they're written on. And that is the most important part. We want the answers. When the answers are provided, to what extent are we prepared to activate those? To what extent are we prepared to implement those? That is the important point and that is the important question. Now let's go back this hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam which I quoted. The narrator of this hadith is a person by the name of Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abdullah bin Salam was formerly a Jewish scholar, a Jewish rabbi. I don't want to go into the detailed explanation about his wonderful encounter with Islam and how Allah gave him hidayat and how Abdullah bin Salam entered the fold of Islam. That is a separate discussion and one very, very interesting one. However, Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, formerly a Jewish rabbi, then later on, upon the entry of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madinah Munawwara, shortly thereafter, he goes and recites the Shahada, and he accepts Iman, and he becomes one of the leading stars in the companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This narration is from Abdullah bin Salam. And the background to this particular hadith, as we know, there is a background to every ayat of the Quran which is called Sabab and Nuzul. Every ayat has got a background in which it was revealed. It's very important for those people who want to understand the explanation of the ayats of the Quran. They want to go into tafsir of the Quran. A person wants to do a commentary of the Quran. It is imperative that he must have a very deep and profound knowledge of Asbabun Nuzul, the background and the history relating to the revelation of every verse. Then only a person will be able to appreciate and understand that particular verse when he views it in the backdrop and the background of that particular verse. Although the ayats of the Quran have general application and a broad application till the day of Qiyamah. The Quran is meant as a source of guidance till the day of judgment. Therefore, the ayats of the Quran are as relevant today as they were 1400 years ago. So we need to understand the background. It helps very much in understanding the message. The same with the ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Shan e Wurud it is called. The circumstances in which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a certain utterance or he said a certain word or he gave a certain ruling or a verdict, to know the background is very important. Look at this particular saying of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated by Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The background to this is that particular moment. That particular moment, the very historic moment, one of those moments, those glorious moments in the history of Islam, those unique moments in the history of Islam, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam completes the historic journey of the Hijrah, and he is at the threshold of entering his eternal abode and home, Madinah Munawwara, that home of his which Allah had destined till the day of Qiyamah, that the Rauza Mubarak and the grave of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam shall be in the city. As Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is entering that city, this is that particular moment when he utters these words. So look at the significance. Look at the historical background. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have said 100 things as he entered Medina, but he chose these particular words on his entry into Medina, and this gives us an important message that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was trying to convey an important message. He was giving a certain vision to the people of Medina on which to live by, and that is why he uttered those particular words when he entered the city of Medina, as narrated by Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on his entry to Medina, he uttered these words, Ya ayyuhannas. Ya ayyuhan nas, all people. And we know the general principle is, in the Quran also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses sometimes the whole of mankind. Ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum. Ya ayyuhan nas, all people. It's a general address, not particularly for the Muslims, not particularly for the believers. The particular address for the believers in the Quran is, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. O believers, O people of Iman. 83 times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the people of Iman directly in the Holy Quran. This is the unique distinction of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. None of the previous ummahs were addressed directly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, in their religious scriptures. The Nabi was addressed and he was told, say this to your people and say that to your people. We are that fortunate ummah that Allah addresses us directly 83 times in the Holy Quran. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. These words appear. So, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's general address, Ya ayyuhal nas, O people, afshus salam, four advices or four sound principles Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives. And this is in order to establish a society in Medina that will live in peace and harmony. A society that will live alongside each other with no kind of tensions, upheaval, violence, and infringing upon the rights of one another, but a beautiful society that will live in harmony, that will live in peace, that will live with coexistence and mutual cooperation. This was the type of society that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wished to establish in Medina. And for that, he established the fundamental principles in these four advices that he had given. Any society that wishes to experience the same experience, the experience of Medina, will have to go back to these four principles, and they will have to implement those four principles in order to enjoy the kind of experience, the Medina experience. Remember, there were not only Muslims living in Medina. The Medina society comprised of the Muslims. And there too, there were not only one class of Muslims in Medina. There were those who were known as the Ansar, the hosts. There were the Muhajireen, the guests, or the migrant community, and the local community. This existed in Medina. Then there was a class of people who were the Munafiqeen, the hypocrites. Then there were the Jews in Medina. It was not a, what we would say, a monolithic community comprising only of one particular group of people. There were different groups of people. Amongst the Ansar, there were then tribes. There was the Aus and there were the Khazraj. These two tribes were at loggerheads for centuries on end. Like the Quraysh and the other tribes were at loggerheads, the Aus and Khazraj, it was only the arrival of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that brought eternal peace and that brought eternal unity between the Aus and Khazraj, and they became one single brotherhood. So it was this community, diversity, a diverse community. We talk about the rainbow nation, a diversity of people living in one country. The rainbow nation existed even in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People from different backgrounds. And remember, there were not only Arabs living in Medina. It was not only that the Medina community comprised of blue-blooded Arabs. There were people from other continents. There were people from other languages. People from other racial backgrounds. People from other cultures that also lived in Medina. But everyone lived in harmony. They lived in peace. They lived with mutual coexistence and cooperation. This was the beautiful model of Medina, the Medina model. We find, my dear friends, Bilal Habshi, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a man of Africa, also living in harmony in Medina as a very important member of the Medina society, so important that he has been entrusted one of the most important obligations and duties in Islam, that is to call towards Salah for the establishment of the fundamental pillar of Islam. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was entrusted with that responsibility. It was not a person of Makkah, it was not a person of Medina himself, it was not an Arab, it was not a Qurayshi, but it was Bilal al-Habshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu that was given this responsibility. That is why it is said that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Makkah and there were still the traces of racism in the Meccan society, they were steeped in the worst form of racism, the worst kind of racism that we can imagine, that was the hallmark of the Meccan society, the way the mighty and the powerful took advantage of the weak and the downtrodden. We find that when Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu is instructed to stand on the Kaaba and to call out the azan from the roof of the Kaaba, the very headquarters of Islam, the center point of this earth, the honor is given to Bilal al-Habshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu to stand there and to call out the azan. Bilal al-Habshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu calls out the azan. There are few people with the old mentality, what we could call the apartheid mentality. The people with the old mentality, that Meccan mentality, that racial mentality, the old school, they said, could not Muhammad find a better person to call out the azan? He had to find this black man to give the azan. Somebody said, why did he have to put the black crow on top of the Kaaba to call the azan? Astaghfirullah. Another person said, lucky my father was not alive today. He would have never been able to live to see a day like this where a black man is standing on top of the Kaaba and calling out the azan. Abu Sufyan later on became radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Not at that point. Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was also present at that time. And Abu Sufyan says that I reserve comment. I'm not saying anything. Because every conversation of ours is reported directly to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he is informed by his creator. So this technology of tapping phones and all of that, this is a new invention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the information when the intelligence network was so powerful that a man uttered one word on the farsh, and the one of the arsh already got the information and conveyed it to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Immediately the information was conveyed to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is the type of conversation that is taking place. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became very, very angry. And he summons the people, and he addressed them, and he spoke to them, and he told them, oh people, you are all from one father and one mother. There is no more room for this kind of racism in Islam. All of that is finished. A person is either a believer, a pious believer, or he is a wretched sinner. There's no other distinction in mankind. There's no distinction on the basis of language, on the basis of race or culture or color. There is no other distinction. There is only this one distinction, the distinction of taqwa. كلكم من آدم وآدم من تراب لا فضل لعربي على عجمي ولا لعجمي على عربي ولا لأحمر على أسود ولا لأسود على أحمر إلا بالتقوى. The only distinction is taqwa. Nevertheless, my dear friends, in that Medina society, there was Bilal al-Habshi, there was Salman al-Farsi, Salman who came from Persia, Asia. There was Suhaib Rumi, Suhaib who came from Rome, the Roman, the person from Europe. So people from different continents, and these are the prominent names that we know of. It doesn't mean that Bilal radiallahu ta'ala was the only black Muslim in Medina. It doesn't mean that these were the only few people of color. There were others, but these are the more prominent and eminent companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established that society on the basis of these fundamental principles, Ya ayyuhan nas, afshu salam, spread the salam and spread the peace. We need to understand the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in its broad understanding, in its generality. It's not to be confined to specific meanings, because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an ocean of knowledge, and he captured all of that knowledge in few words. If that knowledge has to be spread out and it has to be commentated on, volumes have been written and volumes are being written on the sayings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So understand it in its broadest sense. When he said spread the salam or spread the peace, it entails all the things that go with peaceful existence. It goes without saying that then you need to have spread tolerance in the society, spread respect in the society, spread understanding in that society, and so on. These are all the things that go with it. Unfortunately, time is not on our side to go into a detailed explanation. The next thing Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ, and feed the people. This again must be understood in its broadest context. It doesn't mean to give a person a tin of fish or a loaf of bread, but it's in its broadest context that the needs of the people, the basic fundamental human needs of society, work towards providing that and spend your resources in providing that, whether it be housing, whether it be clothing, whether it be health, whether it be education, whether it be nutritional, social, whichever sense it is, you must spend your resources in that direction. And then the third point Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned is wasilul arham, join ties with one another. In this day and age, the fancy word for that is networking. Networking. Network. Work in cohesion. Work collectively. Work with unity. Let there be unified efforts. Let there be unity in the people, in their work, and so on. All these buzzwords are encompassed in this one saying of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then lastly, وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامٌ. When people are fast asleep at night, then turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then engage in spiritual upliftment of yourself. Become spiritually charged and energized. All these physical activities will be empty shells if it doesn't have the spiritual force and power behind it. So become spiritually energized as well. At night, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then that the dimension of dua also comes in there. That do your effort in the day, and at night do the dua and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like one pious elder said, that the work of Allah is like a bird that has got two wings. One wing is effort and the other wing is dua. A bird can never fly with one wing. Like this, the effort of Allah cannot be done with one wing, just the effort alone or just the dua alone. There has to be a combination of both for that bird to take off and soar and fly high in the sky. My dear friends, time is up. There are lots of things to be said. But let us try to apply these principles of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to our current situation and our condition in this particular country. And you will find that inshallah, if everybody puts their shoulder to the cart and everyone resolves that I am going to become an ambassador of peace, understanding, tolerance, respect, and all of these things that go with the word salam. I am going to become a person who is a servant of mankind, and I'm going to alleviate poverty and suffering and all of that through these words, it'amu ta'am. And I am going to become that person who contributes towards the unity and unification of the ummah and all the efforts that are taking place and peaceful coexistence. Then that is silul arham. And the last part, each one is going to work and strive for spiritual upliftment. When these ingredients are put together, then we have a winning recipe, inshallah ta'ala. And all this despondency and all these things that we face, all of that, inshallah, will disappear. And we will have hope, we'll have a vision, and we'll have something to work towards. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all safety and protection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability and understanding to implement these beautiful teachings of Quran and Hadith. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.